Sí. It's time to get answers to all of your real estate questions. Talk 1260 KTRC presents All Things Real Estate, New Mexico's foremost live, listener-interactive real estate radio show. The phone lines are open, so call us at 505-473-5722 or email us your questions at rpost@sfrp.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Post.
Good afternoon and welcome to All Things Real Estate. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners and stand ready to help meet all of your real estate objectives. In a few minutes, I'll be introducing my special in-studio guest, but first want to remind you that we have partnered with some terrific companies who can help solve renovation, repair, and design issues around your own home. Just go to our website, www.santafe-realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon and go right to the list of real estate resource companies. I encourage you to give them a call if you need some help at the place you call home. I also want to share some exciting news with you about a service our firm is offering exclusively to everyone in Santa Fe. Now, why don't you go grab a pen and some paper so you can jot down a phone number? At any time, day or night, you can now call one phone number and get information on any property for sale in Santa Fe. Just dial 505-204-7427, enter the address of any home on the market, and a very pleasant woman's voice will tell you everything about the property you're interested in. And if you want additional information or you wish to speak to a broker about the property, you can be connected, but it's your choice. So from any phone, you can now check out properties whenever you wish. Remember to dial 505-204-7427 and let your phone give the information on any property for sale in Santa Fe. As always, we have a lot going on with the show today, so please sit back and enjoy All Things Real Estate here on Talk 1260 KTRC. You can also email me, Ray Post, your questions and comments by sending your message to rpost@sfrp.com. Now, we like to begin each show with some state-of-the-market commentary from Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate. Okay, Andrew, what thoughts are you bringing to us today?
Well, I know last week you talked with Steve Riemann and talked about real estate contracts.
Yes.
And I just thought I'd follow up and give them an idea of how real estate contracts are viewed by the mortgage industry.
Mm-hmm.
They are different. In most states, you don't get this type of contract. Most lenders or Fannie Mae guidelines call it a land contract. So here are the way, you know, if you're buying a house today and you expect to be able to refinance it 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, 3 years later, here's what the Fannie Mae guidelines would say, that if you want to refinance it in over 12 months, you need at least 12 months canceled checks to show that you've been paying on the real estate contract, and you will be able to refinance at the loan to value based upon an appraisal. On the other hand, if the real estate contract is less than a year old, you will be able to refinance at the purchase price as opposed to the appraised value. There's no cash out allowed on either transaction, so it's just a rate and term refinance. And they won't allow manufactured homes on a real estate contract. So if you're getting into a real estate contract today and you expect to be able to refinance it because the house has increased in value or you've done certain things to the house, you probably need to wait at least 12 months in order to do that.
Excellent counsel. And as we've talked about last week with Steve Riemann from Fidelity National Title, Andrew, real estate contracts are becoming more prevalent in this market, though they've been around as a phenomenon for many, many years. So your final counsel to someone is if they're going to do a real estate contract from a financing standpoint, what's the bottom line?
Well, I would have an idea that you're going to keep the real estate contract for at least a year, 2 years, 3 years, then you have no problem. It needs to be done officially through an escrow company where you're actually making payments and you can show that you've actually been making payments. But if you're going to use a lot of people, you have to have at least 5% of your own cash into the transaction when it's less than 12 months. But when it's greater than 12 months, you can use the appraised value and do a refinance off the appraised value.
Very good. Thanks so much again, Andrew Hoffman, for calling into All Things Real Estate. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I want to shift gears and introduce my two very special in-studio guests. With me today are Terry Smith, who's actually an associate broker at Santa Fe Realty Partners, but more importantly for today's conversation, he is the board chair for the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, and with him is his, I'm going to call you a sidekick, is that all right, Charlie?
That's fine.
Charlie O'Leary, who is actually more importantly than a sidekick, is the conservation coordinator for the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, and today we're going to be talking about what is a conservation easement. So welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Great to be with you.
I guess, Terry, maybe we'll start out so that people understand what the trust does. Why don't you define a little bit about the Santa Fe Conservation Trust?
I'm delighted. The Santa Fe Conservation Trust is Santa Fe's local land trust. A land trust is a 501c3 not-for-profit charitable organization that's set up explicitly to work with landowners who want to conserve or preserve their land by placing what's called a conservation easement upon it. So our role in life is to work with landowners to accept from them gifts of the development rights to their land, conservation easement, and to then monitor those easements forever, to ensure that the conditions of the gift, essentially a prohibition against further development, are met.
And beyond, and we're going to get into it in a minute here, defining further what a conservation easement is, but beyond this very important task, the Conservation Trust also has two other programs aware of that are very popular, aren't they?
Yes. Unlike most land trusts, the Santa Fe Conservation Trust has branched out into, as you said, two additional programs. The first is a program committed to improving, maintaining the wonderful trails system, network of trails that we have throughout Santa Fe. The trust played a primary role in the creation of the Dale Ball Trail system, the rail trail that so many people enjoy in Santa Fe. We have now, in cooperation with the city and the county, created a Trails Alliance, and working with a large number of local community volunteers, we maintain the trail system throughout the county. The other program is a dark skies program. We're working very hard with the Capital City Astronomers Club and other interested people to increase local understanding of ways in which people can protect the night sky from unnecessary light pollution.
And I know that you just this past week had a large group out. Was it in Galisteo?
Friday night we had a picnic and star party at the Galisteo Basin Preserve.
Mm-hmm.
And there were well over 100 folks who came to the picnic and probably 60 or 70 who stayed late into the night for a wonderful night of looking at the stars.
So what the Conservation Trust does, the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, is not all dry stuff. You can have fun doing it as well.
You can have a whale of a lot of fun. We have another star party coming up on October 9th, and you can go on the Santa Fe Conservation Trust website and sign up for that.
Excellent. Charlie O'Leary, the conservation coordinator for the Conservation Trust. I'm going to really sort of shorthand this from now on, conservation and everything else. But we all know in the trade what an easement is. And there's somewhat of a misnomer here, I guess, because a conservation easement is not really what a classic easement is, correct?
Correct. It's not a classic easement in the sense of a utility easement that a lot of the listeners would be familiar with. As it may encumber a parcel of land. The conservation easement, or sometimes called a conservation agreement or a deed of conservation easement, is a legal agreement that is on record with the county. It runs with the land in perpetuity, and it's a tool that we use to really limit the amount of activity that can occur on a property. And it's written with the benefit of the land trust and the landowner. So every conservation easement is unique to that parcel of land. But what it does is primarily restricts the amount of development that you would have on a parcel. So, for example, if zoning allowed 10 homes to be built on a particular parcel of land, and you as a landowner and the land trust came together and said, this is a special piece of property. We don't want to see it completely built out. We want to maybe allow for one additional home site to be built, but the rest of the property we don't want to build on at all. It may have a scenic view that the public can see from local highway or main thoroughfare in town. And so we figure out what's the best way to protect this land by limiting, really, its use.
And I want to remind everyone, if they want to bring us a question by email to either Charlie or Terry, please email me here at rpost@sfrp. And I guess maybe one of the follow-up questions I have, and that was a very good definition of a conservation easement, Charlie, is if someone's out there listening and they say, gosh, I'm interested in doing something like this, what's the next step they need to take?
Well, because every property is different, it's best to contact us at the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, and we can begin a dialogue to really help ascertain whether or not their parcel, we feel, is one that would have a significant public benefit. So while essentially every piece of land, in its own way is worth preserving or protecting or bringing some balance to, the general development scheme of a community, and maybe a particular parcel won't be developed. Because there are tax benefits associated with making this gift, as Terry mentioned earlier, what the landowner is doing is donating the development rights to be held by the land trust. The IRS and the state have guidelines that say, okay, if this property is going to be eligible for these tax credits or tax benefits, it needs to demonstrate a real public benefit. And that's really what needs to be ascertained up front.
We need to take a break here in a second, but what I want to point out to our listeners is that there are a number of benefits that inure to them, not only in preserving some fine land here in the Santa Fe area, but also some tax benefits that we'll talk about in the second half of the show. So please stay tuned. We'll be back here on All Things Real Estate in a minute. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners. And before I reintroduce my special guests, I want to tell you, as I do all my clients, that you should be thoughtful in your choice of a realtor, lender, and other real estate professionals to work with. And you should be just as discriminating in your choice of a title insurance company. You know, my top recommendation is Fidelity National Title Insurance Company. You see, Fidelity National is the nation's giant of title insurance companies with a personal Santa Fe approach. Their services are customized to meet the particular needs of each and every person and property. With Fidelity, your transaction runs smooth and safe with no surprises, so choose experienced, knowledgeable professionals to assist with your real estate questions and transaction needs. Call my friends at Team Fidelity at 505-995-8800 or email them at their free and confidential question and customer service department. That's santafe@fnf.com. Choose wisely. Choose Fidelity. I know you'll appreciate the difference. Anyway, back to my special in-studio guests. I have the chairman of the board, Terry Smith, of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, and his colleague, Charlie O'Leary, who is the conservation coordinator. We're talking about conservation easements today. Before I go back into, actually received a couple of email questions during the break, I want to point out that Terry, who's also an associate broker at Santa Fe Realty Partners, who is partnered with his lovely wife, Susan Monroe, the two of them together are a force to be reckoned with in the Santa Fe market when it comes to real estate. So I want to give Susan a shout-out. I hope is she listening to you today?
I certainly hope she is.
Yeah, well, she should be, right? And Charlie O'Leary, Charlie's actually a native of the state. You were born in Albuquerque?
That's correct.
Uh-huh, but you've lived here about 10 years in Santa Fe?
That's right.
And you've been a consultant for about the last 12 months with the Conservation Trust, but prior to that, I see you were a project manager for 8 years with the Trust for Public Land, so... This is in the blood, right?
It is, and I should say that I've really been enjoying working with Santa Fe Conservation Trust for the last 12 months because it's allowed me to really get more familiar with Santa Fe County and the great landscapes here, as well as and surrounding counties to Santa Fe County where the trust works.
Well, I tell you what, in the last segment we defined a conservation easement, and I have a couple of questions here that relate directly to it. The first one from Bob, thank you, Bob, for emailing us, is how many conservation easement possibilities really exist in Santa Fe? Charlie?
That's a very good question, Bob. Thanks for that question. You know, there really are a lot of opportunities still here in Santa Fe. When we look at what some of the conservation values are, they're in several different categories. They can be in a public recreation. They can provide a scenic benefit. So, you know, specifically, if we're looking at parcels that are adjacent to the Santa Fe River that have some nice wildlife habitat, if they're adjacent to national forest or some of the larger tracts, they may provide a buffer in this interface between wildland interface between the urban and the forested area. If you've got, you know, the tough part about it is the tracts of land are smaller, and certainly larger pieces are easier to demonstrate a public benefit if they are preserved. So if you're looking right in town, you've got to be a little bit more careful and look for, like, the Santa Fe River would be a great example of of an area that would be worthy of protection.
So there are theoretically a whole bunch of conservation easement possibilities, right, Terry?
Right, Ray, and I just want to add that we the Santa Fe Conservation Trust works in adjacent counties as well. We have easements all the way up to the Colorado border. We have them in San Miguel County. If you add sort of if you take into account the scope of northern New Mexico, there are landholders out there who have land that is exquisitely beautiful and has enormous conservation benefits. So we have lots of land to work with in the future.
Well, we're going to continue our conversation about this with Gino Thompson, my producer. We've reached that point in the show when it's time for our legal topic of the week, brought to us by the Reuben Katz Law Firm, who, by the way, happens to be your law firm of choice, Charlie, isn't it, for bringing easement legal work, right?
That's correct. We use them in all of our conservation transactions.
Excellent. Well, this week's topic speaks to issues faced by buyers of newly constructed homes and is offered to us by attorney Leonard Katz. Now, when buying an existing and pre-owned home, a buyer often purchases it, boy, that's a hard one to say, in its present and as-is condition. Similar to buying a used car, the buyer should carefully check out the condition of the home, often engaging the services of a home inspection service or various contractors, to determine if there are any major defects or deferred maintenance issues that will need attention and involve expense in the near future. However, a buyer of a newly constructed home also needs to be careful. It's easy to be lulled into thinking that, like a new car with a warranty, a buyer can be casual in inspecting the condition of a new home, especially if a warranty is involved. The fact is, a warranty is only as good as the company that is giving it. So it's therefore important to check out the contractor who built the home and is providing the warranty. The first thing to confirm is that the contractor is licensed by the New Mexico State Construction Industries Division. This division has a website where the status of a contractor's license can be viewed, and the division issues licenses to contractors who have only passed a test for competency in the construction trade, including knowledge of building codes. In addition to confirming the contractor's license status, a buyer should also learn about the experience and reputation of the contractor within the community. A buyer may consider obtaining references and then make inquiries regarding the satisfaction of other buyers of the contractor's homes. A buyer should also confirm that a certificate of occupancy has been issued by the local building inspection authority for the home being bought. Homes cannot be legally occupied until such a certificate of occupancy has been issued. Issuance of this certificate means that the construction has passed the inspections required by the authority and has met building code requirements and is ready to be occupied. If the home is located in a subdivision with design covenants and an architectural review or control committee, the buyer may wish to obtain the final inspection approval from the committee to confirm that construction was done in accordance with approved design plans. And a buyer should always carefully review the terms and limitations of the contractor's warranty. Contrary to popular belief, there is no New Mexico law requiring that a contractor give a one-year warranty on a newly constructed home. And though this has become customary, it's not required by law, and warranties can vary substantially. The broadest type of warranty is one that warrants the construction to be free of defects in materials and workmanship for the warranty period, which is customarily a one-year from the date of substantial completion. The date of substantial completion is normally the date that the certificate of occupancy is insured. Well, there's a lot of stuff here, isn't there, Terry?
Sure.
More restrictive guarantees list numerous exceptions to the general warranty against defects. These exceptions can include appliances when a manufacturer's warranty is offered, imperfections due to normal characteristics of the building materials, and misuse by the owner and occupants of the home. A buyer should also carefully review any notice provisions required under the warranty and the time period given for the contractor to make corrections. Finally, there is the issue of mechanics liens, otherwise known as contractor liens. Under New Mexico law, such liens can be filed against the home if construction was completed within 120 days of its purchase. Now, title insurance is available to insure against mechanic liens being filed after closing. Such insurance is available at an additional premium, is subject to the insurance company's discretion, and whether to obtain and pay for this coverage should be negotiated at the time of entering into a purchase agreement for the newly constructed home. Buying a newly constructed home is an exciting experience. But as attorney Leonard Katz points out, to keep it positive, a buyer should consider a certain amount of due diligence and investigation. I want to thank Leonard Katz for providing us with an excellent legal topic of the week, if not very complete. And if you have your own legal questions regarding the purchase of a newly constructed home, please go to our website, www.santafe realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon and go right to the Reuben Katz Law Firm logo. Gino Thompson, I have to take a break here so I can take a drink of water. Please come back and join us here on All Things Real Estate. We're talking about conservation easements today with my special guest Terry Smith and Charlie O'Leary. We'll be back in a minute.
RC.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners. Today we're talking about conservation easements with my special guest, Terry Smith, who is chairman of the board of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, and his colleague, Charlie O'Leary, who is the conservation coordinator. In the last segment, we received an email from Betty. It says, "Hi, Charlie. Is there a minimum amount of land that the trust will consider for granting an easement?" Good question.
Good question. And while by definition there is not, because we are working within the confines of the city limits, we would look at a small parcel, say, in half an acre, if it had the right conservation values on it. And what comes to mind would be, maybe a trail linkage or a small parcel that someone wanted to put aside and turn into essentially a trailhead.
So, but do you guys typically deal with larger parcels, though?
We do. I mean, we're working on parcels as small as 5 acres up to 10,000 acres. Mm-hmm. So it really runs the gamut. And the costs associated with putting a parcel under easement, the standard due diligence that a lot of your listeners are used to, but an appraisal, a title report. We also require clarification of subsurface ownership. All those costs are, essentially the same whether you're working on a small or a large.
And how much are they, Charlie, typically?
Well, typically, the big difference with these appraisals is typically an appraisal will run, $7,000 to $10,000 for a conservation easement.
But the good news, and we're going to get into this in the last segment of the show, is that though that may sound like a lot of money to a listener, there are huge financial benefits, so I'm teasing that a little bit, so we're going to come to that in a minute. But let's go back to a question that we talked about in our green room before the show, and that is myths surrounding conservation easements. Do you want to address that?
Sure. I think there's one big myth that's worth discussing, and that is that all conservation easements require public access to the parcel. And while we certainly enjoy public access on an appropriate parcel, so when it makes sense, we'll encourage the landowner to consider that that type of right being written into the easement. It's certainly not a requirement, and I would say that that's probably the biggest myth, that, you know, landowners are wary that if they want to conserve their property, that means they have to open it up for unfettered access to the public, and that's just not the case.
You know, Terry Smith, I think people are out there listening and they're saying this is all very interesting, but give me an example of a local conservation easement that I can get my arms around and understand what it's all about. Terry?
I'll give you two.
Good.
One that people pass in Santa Fe every day and may not notice that there's no development on what we call Sally's Hill. It's a very prominent hill in the middle of town just behind Santa Fe Prep,
mm-hmm.
And adjacent to the entrance to St. John's. There is a substantial hill and a wonderful now deceased Santa Fe citizen named Sally Wagner put a conservation easement upon the top of that hill, substantially the top third of it, I guess, many years ago. And so right in the middle of Santa Fe, a highly valuable property,
mm-hmm.
There is now a prohibition against development in perpetuity. So people looking up in that direction will always see an undeveloped vista.
And you make a good point, because that probably in the abstract would have been a location that many developers would have loved to have had the opportunity to develop on.
Absolutely, and that's the point. We've managed to conserve an open space, a wild open space in the middle of town, thanks to the generosity of Sally Wagner.
Good example. You know what, Gino Thompson, I think we're up to a special segment here where I'm going to be talking to someone who is involved as co-chair of a very special event, actually the fifth annual Design Santa Fe event that occurs next weekend, October 1st through 3rd. I have Stephanie Hollingsworth on the phone with me, and Stephanie is also a partner in the well-known HVL Interiors. Good afternoon, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Ray.
Listen, I'm going to give you the floor to talk for a few minutes about this fifth annual Design Santa Fe event. A number of people in Santa Fe are familiar with it, but why don't you give some of the highlights about what's going on next weekend?
Sure, I appreciate it. Well, I'd like to say that this event is something that the group of interior designers here and related trade businesses have been involved in to kind of keep promoting the special take that we feel like we have here in Santa Fe on design, which really does have some traction worldwide, and we're trying to keep promoting that.
Mm-hmm.
The main event is this upcoming Friday, and it is at the Farmers Market at 9 o'clock, and this includes a catered lunch. And this will be a lively discussion, including the audience, for a couple of hours. And we have panelists that are coming in from all over the country who are people who influence design and its manifestation. And one of the panelists is our very own Tom Joyce, which we're excited about.
Uh-huh.
The theme for this discussion is beauty, collaboration, and design. And the tickets for this is $75, available through the Linsic.
And Stephanie, this again is the fifth annual occasion for this event. Is it growing each year?
It is. We continue to bring in people, again, kind of people who have well-known names throughout the country, and they seem to be very interested in coming here and seeing what we're doing here in Santa Fe and bringing what they know here. And I think that people in the community are starting to respond and realize, wow, you know, they really are doing an outreach to kind of expand our borders here in Santa Fe of what design, the influence that design has.
And you have a special guided home tour segment that's a new addition, right?
Yes, the main home tour has been a feature of our event for the last several years, and there are 7 homes on the tour this year. And what it is, for $20, you can do a self-guided tour where you can peek into private homes and art collections that otherwise people wouldn't get to see. They're homes that are designed by designers, often architects, and so you can really experience the work of local Santa Fe designers, which is often more provocative than design in other markets,
mm-hmm.
Kind of aligning with our art scene here. And in addition to that, this year is that there is a shuttle guided tour available as well, just on Saturday, with a box lunch for $65 if you'd like to just sit back, enjoy the ride, enjoy the tour without having to navigate. donated.
And Stephanie, I think you mentioned this, but just to underscore that the proceeds benefit the youth shelters, that's really what you're doing, right?
Yes, absolutely. This is the second year that they are our chosen benefactor, and they are building a new facility out on Airport Road, and we've been involved kind of with a hands-on approach this year with the facility as designers, which was exciting for us. But, yes, we will be donating all of our proceeds to that entity.
Okay, so if anyone is interested, and I encourage all the listeners to attend this next weekend, the 1st of October through the 3rd, what's the best way for them to find that information, Stephanie?
We do have a website. It's www.designsantafe.org. They can also call the Lensic and get information about purchasing tickets.
Excellent. Listen, Stephanie Hollingsworth, co-chair of the 5th Annual Design Santa Fe event, I really appreciate you coming on the show today, and I wish you a lot of success with this event.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Okay, talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Back to my in-studio guests here on All Things Real Estate, Terry Smith, associate broker with Santa Fe Realty Partners, but relative to today's topic is the chairman of the board of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust and his colleague, Charlie O'Leary, who is the conservation coordinator. I did receive one more email, guys, while Ms. Hollingsworth was speaking. It comes from Sam. Do I need to hire a real estate attorney to help me prepare all the paperwork to apply for a conservation easement? Charlie?
It certainly is not a bad idea. In negotiating the terms of the easement, we generally request that a landowner work with an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, these are a little bit complicated, and so it's always a good idea.
Terry, you want to
say? I would just encourage Sam to consider and the audience to consider. The first step is really to touch base with us, with Charlie.
Good point.
To frame out what the issues might be, and that initial consultation won't cost you what it would cost to go to a real estate attorney. Ultimately, if the proposition looks attractive to the landowner would want to bring in legal representation.
I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
I was just going to say that's a good point, Terry.
Yeah. But we have to go to a break in about a minute or so. But before we do that, let's get into this final sort of issue associated. So we've been teasing everybody. They know what a conservation easement is all about. They know the value to the land and conserving what that's all about. They have some good examples, as Terry pointed out, here in Santa Fe to get their arms around. Let's talk now about the financial benefits, because you mentioned a few minutes ago, Charlie, about the costs associated with putting a conservation easement together in about a minute, and then we'll come back and we'll talk further about it. What is the primary benefit financially to someone who pursues a conservation easement?
There's tax benefits associated with making a gift of a conservation easement to a land trust or a public agency. So just as if someone was making a gift to their favorite charity, the Red Cross, for example, it's the same kind of charitable tax donation that you're able to receive on the federal side. Then in New Mexico, we're one of three states in the country that have a tax credit, a land conservation tax credit program, which allows for a landowner to receive up to, and I can give you some more details, but up to about $250,000 in tax credits. And the great thing about this program is these tax credits are now transferable, so that is real cash in somebody's pocket if they don't have the tax credit.
I underscore that a little bit before we go to break here. When you say transferable, what does that mean?
That means that if they don't have the tax liability themselves, they can't use the tax credit.
So they don't have income, so they can't do deductions, so then they can take it and do what?
That's right. They can take it and actually sell it to an entity that has substantial tax liability, and they sell it for about 85 cents on the dollar. So it's a good thing for a corporation that has tax liability. They want to acquire those types of tax credits. It gives them a little bit of a discount, but then it also monetizes this conservation deal for the landowner.
Excellent definition. We're going to continue on this particular line about the financial benefits associated with a conservation easement, so please stay tuned here on All Things Real Estate. We'll be back in a minute. Okay, and I understand that you are at, or will soon be, are you there?
I,
I am at 644 Canyon Road, which is a the old Atwill compound, which dates to 1928.
Uh-huh.
The interesting history on this particular unit is I sold it in 2002, and 3 weeks after the buyers took possession, a fire destroyed the property. I mean, took it nearly all the way down to the ground.
Wow.
They had an opportunity to rebuild, so we've got a sensational Canyon Road location with essentially new construction, 2,400 square feet, adobe, three bedrooms, three and a half baths, five fireplaces, radiant heat, central air, two private courtyards, state-of-the-art kitchen, and you don't find that.
No, you really don't, and your location is fabulous, too, because a lot of people are on Canyon Road having brunch today, and so it's just a hop, skip,
right,
and a jump to see you starting at 1 o'clock, right?
Right. Well, I'm here now. You know, anybody wants to walk over, they can. Anyway, lovely property. The entry courtyard is graced with, like, 30-foot, 40-foot pear trees and an apple tree. And it's, you know, one of those hidden gems that Santa Fe has to offer occasionally.
Mm-hmm. And, this is three bedrooms, three full baths. I think one of the important issues that we need to point out to people, again, we'll give them directions. Everybody knows where Canyon Road is, but give them
mm-hmm.
directions. But what kind of price point do you have on this, Peter?
The asking price is $1,150,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually three and a half baths. Each bedroom has a full bath, and then there's a powder room as well. To find it, there is actually no signage that says 644 Canyon. If one is coming up Canyon Road, on the right-hand side, you'll see Delaney Newkirk Gallery, a driveway, and then Darnell Gallery. Well, it's that driveway you want, and you go all the way to the back. You're about 150 yards off Canyon Road. So as crowded as Canyon Road may be, even on a Friday night when the galleries are hopping, all you hear is the breeze in the trees or the birds.
Well, listen, Peter Kahn with Santa Fe Realty Partners, delighted to have you on the show today. That's 644 Canyon Road. Peter is there now and will be there till 3 o'clock today. I encourage everyone who's out driving around to take a stop by and look at this fantastic property, one of the best locations in Santa Fe, well-priced and virtually a brand-new house. Thanks so much, Peter. We will talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, Ray.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Back to my in-studio guest, Terry Smith, board chairman with the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, and his colleague, Charlie O'Leary, who is conservation coordinator. We've talked a lot about defining conservation easements. We've talked about some of the benefits that inure to one in a financial way. But, Charlie, you want to expand on that a little bit further?
Well, sure. I think it's worth mentioning that, again, New Mexico is one of three states in the country that has a transferable tax credit program. And what it does is it really provides an incentive for landowners who want to conserve their property, but they also want to see some financial compensation for their efforts. Maybe they're looking for some money to be able to put back into the parcel. And so it's an important aspect to mention. It's not the main reason why people are conserving their property, but it certainly helps, especially in those cases where folks may be land rich and cash poor. So it's a good tool, and I definitely encourage people to learn more about it.
And yeah, Terry, go ahead.
I just want to amplify what Charlie said with regard to the potential for estate planning. Many times that the children inherit the estate when the parents die, and the estate taxes are so substantial that they have to sell the land in order to pay the estate taxes. With a conservation easement, in many cases, the reduction in the value of the land because of the stripping away of the development rights,
mm-hmm.
which is the basis for the gift, can reduce the value of the estate while maintaining the possibility of holding the land in the family.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very, I think, a substantial value in our area of the country.
Oh, it absolutely is, and maybe I want to underscore, too, because there are criteria that you at the trust use to determine whether or not someone who has land that they want to consider gifting passes the test. So one way, and we haven't talked about this yet, I want to give your contact information out right now before we forget about it. So if someone's out there saying, you know what, I've got some pretty valuable land, at least I think it is, maybe I can take advantage of these tax advantages, maybe I can conserve the land, what should they do? Who should they call, and how do they get a hold of you, Charlie?
Well, they can give me a call at the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, which is 989-7019, or contact me via email. I'm at charlie@sfct.org, or, of course, they can visit our website, which is www.sfct.org.
Mm-hmm. And, yes, Jerry.
And if there are brokers out there, real mm-hmm. estate brokers, who'd like more information about how conservation easements might fit into their practice,
mm-hmm.
I would be delighted to hear from them directly. My number is 577-0648.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be reached through Santa Fe Realty Partners as well.
Right, and you can go to our website. That's www.santafe.realtypartners.com. And when you come to the home page, you'll see broker column up on the left-hand side. Click on that. That'll take you right to Terry and, again, your lovely wife, Susan Monroe, there. You guys are pretty sophisticated in your internet marketing, too. You've got your own fancy website.
Well, sort of a must these days.
Yes, it is, indeed. Well, we've got about 3 minutes left, guys, before the show concludes. Charlie, I want to give you a chance to sort of summarize one, two, three, the points for the listeners out there about why a conservation easement might be important to them.
Certainly. First off, conservation easements are really the best tool out there to make sure that land is preserved and conserved in perpetuity. So it's a tool that's been around for over 100 years. If you have someone that wants to make sure their land stays the same in perpetuity, the conservation easement is really the best tool.
And I think to close this out, Terry, you have some information about an interesting article that was in Paso Tiempo this past week.
Yes, Ray, thanks for the chance to mention it. Just calling attention to folks, there are two wonderful articles in this week's Paso Tiempo. One is an article reviewing Ken Burns' new series on the National Park Service,
mm-hmm.
and as an adjunct to that, because he played a major role in the development of the film, of the series, an article about Stuart Udall, a wonderful local citizen of Santa Fe, a very valued asset. If we had national treasures, he'd be one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The article about Stuart talks about his lifelong commitment to conservation and ends with some quotes from a letter he sent to his grandchildren in which he urges them to engage in a love affair with the land. And if I could underscore the values of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust and the work that we do,
mm-hmm.
the work that Charlie does so well, it is based on our collective love of the land and our true desire to maintain the specialness of our special place in the world here in Santa Fe.
I could not say it any better, and a very good way to close out this show. I really want to thank my special guests, Terry Smith and Charlie O'Leary of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, for joining me today on the show. Thank you, Gino Thompson, my producer, and Kate and Jane back at Santa Fe Realty Partners for doing all that you do to make the show a success. I want to thank you for tuning in today, and give me and my broker colleagues a call at 989-8900 if you need some real estate advice. So until next Sunday at noon right here on Talk 1260 KTRC, I send you good luck and fortune in all things real estate.